Good evening. I feel like I should play something here. Let's see. Better be the drums. better not. You'll regret it, believe me. Good music tonight. Appreciate all the musicians and sharing their talent with the Lord. This evening we're looking at an interesting passage we're familiar with over in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, where Paul has a thorn in his side. He talks about this thorn that was given him as a messenger of Satan. And they say, a lot of scholars say, we have no idea what it was, but it was a messenger sent by Satan to buffet him. But yet God used it for something good in his life. And if you would turn with me in your Bibles over to chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 7. I'd like to take just one moment. I was about 5 o'clock, I got a text from Jeff Ewing. His mom fell again, and she got a bad cut on her head, the way he says. And he was in the emergency room with her at 5 o'clock. So we want to just take a moment. I'd like to pray for her, pray for the family. They've been under a lot here last week and now this week. So let's just take a moment, bow our heads, and we'll pray for them. Lord, we pray for the Ewing family and Jeff's mother as she has fallen. And Lord, we don't know the situation, but we know that she's in the emergency room. And we pray, Lord, that you would be with the doctors, be with everyone that's involved there, be with the family. Lord, comfort them, guide them, give all the wisdom that is needed. And we pray, Lord, that you would sustain them through this time. And we know they have a lot going on right now. We pray that you would help them just to deal with each thing, knowing you're comforting them, and let them feel your presence around them in every way as they go through. And the doctors work with his mother, and they have a funeral this week. And we just pray that you be with them, and we ask in your name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, and I'm reading from the ESV. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with the weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It's real interesting in this passage. As I was reading through it, it begins in the beginning in verse 7. It begins to talk about this messenger of Satan. And in verse 8 it says, he petitioned the Lord 3 times that it would be removed from him. But by the time we get to the end of this, he says, I will glory in this thing that has been given me. So he completely went the complete opposite direction, praying for it to be removed and then being thankful for it being there. Whatever the affliction was, it might have been a physical ailment or it could have been something else. We don't know exactly what it was. But the main point is he realized as he was praying and he was trusting God that he was really looking at it from a wrong direction. Right now is a beautiful time of year. I see buds on the trees, the leaves are coming out, just the weather is warming up. Oh, we're just waiting for spring. Looking at the grass is growing. But there's one thing that we don't look forward to. It seems to be growing at an alarming rate. The construction cone. Oh, the dreaded construction cones. It looks like they grow out of the pavement, like mushrooms. They just pop up overnight, all over the place. In your way, you're driving down the road, all of a sudden, here they are, in your way. And it's frustrating. You know, we realize that there's all kinds of things out there. We complain about the potholes and the roads that are broken up. And then these things come. And then we complain about this. I hear people at work complaining. They shut that lane down on the bridge. Now it's one lane and it backs up for a mile and it goes on and on. When we see these construction signs, we think of these orange cones. We think of detours and traffic backups and changing lanes and narrowing lanes, inconvenience, losing time, all these things that are accompanied with it. But I think as we look at these cones and as we look at the reasons they're there, if we look at it from a different angle, we can realize that they are our friend. There's a correction that has to be made from the potholes and the broken roadways to smooth roadways, and it's a construction site. Construction is something that we have to deal with. It's something that we have to go through. It's something that we're a part of, whether it's in our real everyday life or it's in our spiritual life. If we look at these things as a repair, as a necessity to fix the problem. We have the problem with the potholes. We have to have the construction to fix it to reach the end result. You know, Paul, I think he was at that point in his life when he was talking about this thing that was annoying him or a thing that was oppressing him. And he was looking at it as a difficulty. He was looking at it as a handicap. He was looking at it as something that was interfering with his life. But when he began to pray and God didn't take it away from him and God said, "My grace is sufficient," he began to realize that it was not something there to hinder him. It was something there to help him. Construction zones are something that we can put in, relate to our spiritual life because God has to put us under construction at some point. We have to be repaired. There's areas of our life that we really don't, we know there's problems, there's things, the difficulties. We have problems with, I'm going to use that word, patience. I hear people say they pray for patience and they get so much tribulation they don't know what to do with. Tribulation, as King James says, tribulation worketh patience. You want patience? Hang on. God will give it to you. There are different areas of our life that we have construction zones, and there's things that need repaired. And a lot of times we pray and we ask God if He would correct these, make these corrections, and we see that we don't like these areas of our life, just like we don't like the potholes. We don't like these. We know, these things seem to get in the road every time. Every time something goes wrong, I get upset. I don't like that. But then God says, okay, we're going to correct that. And when He begins to correct the corrections, we say, well, I don't like that either. That's not something that I like because it's also interfering with my life. And I don't see the end result. And part of the problem is we can't see the end result when God is working in our life. Just like the construction zones. You know, I wish they would put, when you go into this construction zone, I wish they'd have signs. You've got 1 mile to go. You've got 3/4 of a mile to go. You've got 1/2 mile to go. They would give you markers to tell you exactly how long this is. Because when you get in these long lines and you start going through, you say, is this ever going to end? Is this ever going to end for me? The same thing goes in our spiritual life. We don't know how long it's going to take. It might take a lifetime in some things that God will put us under construction. He'll try to repair, make those repairs. If we surrender our life to Him, He has to make the repairs. We can't do it on our own. I have the one of these cards. You probably can't see it from here, but you know the image. It's Jesus knocking on our heart's door. And we use this in evangelism a lot of times. You take it out and say, well, Jesus is knocking on your heart's door. You need to open it up and let Him in. And that is exactly what we need to do. But I think too many times we get the impression that we can open the door and let Jesus in partway. Let's imagine that it's our house. And when Jesus knocks on our door, we open the door and let Him into the living room. Come in, sit in the living room, give Him a cup of coffee, whatever He wants. We let Him into the living room, But what we need to remember, what we need to know is that beforehand, we cleaned that living room up. We went around and swept and we dusted and put everything in order, and that living room is in perfect condition. But that's the only room we're going to let him in. Because you go around the corner into the kitchen and there's dishes piled on the sink and the kitchen table's piled up with stuff. We don't want him to see that room. And then we go around the kitchen from the kitchen to the dining room. Oh no, we still have the Christmas decorations piled on that table, so we can't really do any let him into that room. We go to the downstairs bathroom, and we'll just close the door on that room. We won't even talk about that room. We go upstairs to the bedroom, and it's closed everywhere, and the bed's not made, and just, we don't want Jesus to see any of these rooms. And that's not even mentioning the spare room, the dreaded spare room. My daughter, my oldest daughter, she had a mobile home, and she was living by herself. And she had an extra room, and I said, well, that's a good place for storage. You can put some things in there. She had lived there about a year, and we went to visit one day, and that door was shut. And I said, well, what's this look like in here? And she said, don't open that door, Dad. Don't open that door. She actually had to push the door open and then throw things behind the door. She had it so full. I said, one of these days you're going to have an avalanche in there. You're never going to get back in that room again. But she had one messy spare room. Well, the spare room that we have in our spiritual life is truly one that we don't want Jesus to even know about. Because if you open the door, the walls are painted with anxiety, and you've got doubt sitting in that corner, and you've got in this corner you have some other luggage that we take along with us spiritually. But in essence, when we let Jesus in and open our heart's door, we need to let him in all the way. Because when we do, he's able to work in our lives. And actually, when he comes in, if he would come into our house, into the living room, it's perfectly set up, he would say, what is the worst room in your house? And you'd have to admit, well, it's got to be the spare room. He said, let's go there. I am here to help you clean it up. I want to help you fix it. And he would come up and he would take one of these orange cones and he would put right beside the door. And he would say, now, let's go to work. Let's go to work and see if we can fix the problems, the potholes, the problems that are in your life. Let's see if we can make them a place where you can enjoy and you can be happy. And that's what Jesus, when we let him in, open our heart's door and let him in, we need to let him in all the way in every area of our life. We need to tell him, this is what my worst fear is. This is what my darkest places. He already knows about them. But he wants us to tell him about them. He wants us to invite him in so that he can help us and fix these problems that are before us. What are some of the Lord's safety cones that he might put up in our life? Well, we find in his word, we find correction, teaching, things that we say, oh boy, that I haven't reached that goal yet. The Holy Spirit's convictions, they are big. If we are convicted of something, we need to deal with it. Not just push it aside, but we need to deal with it and find that there is an end result. That is a good end result. So many times we get sidetracked. I've never been out on a boat that much. But when I have been out on a boat, the ones that I have been out on, it's kind of scary to me because if you go out too far, all you see is water all the way around. I mean, you can look at the horizon and all you see is water. And a big question comes up to me. How do you know which direction to go? They say, well, we have navigation equipment. You want somebody to panic. Wait, there's a group of people on a boat and walk up to the captain and tap on the compass and say, is this thing broken? You will see some people panic pretty quick. They have to rely on that equipment. They know it's been calibrated. They know, they trust it. They put their full trust in it. And apparently it works for them. We need to put our complete trust in Jesus because we can't see the end result. We can't see what He has planned for us. We can't see what's down the road. We know that what He does, He won't give us more than we can handle. We know that He is there for us no matter what. We know that He is going to work good out of what we're dealing with, because that's what the Scripture tells us. He's going to work something good out of it. At the moment, we stand and look around and say, what good can He work from this? I've had those times in my own life when I really had to sit down and talk to the Lord and say, Lord, what possibly could happen that's good that would come out of this? When my parents died, I sat down with the Lord and I said, this is unimaginable. What possible good can you bring out of both of my parents dying in the same day? What could you do? What good? What good can come out of having a funeral on Christmas Eve for two parents? What good? And I asked Him, and I dealt with it, and I struggled with it. You know what He said? He said, you can help others. And I was surprised how many people I was able to help that had dealt with similar things. It was amazing what God had done just because I didn't say, Lord, I'm not going to trust you anymore. But instead, I leaned on the Lord and said, I'm going to trust you even more. I'm going to go through this bad spell to reach the good that you have there. The perseverance that we need, that is something we need to rely on. The perseverance that we can get by following Jesus. There have been some other ones who have needed some corrections in their lives. For instance, the disciples that were in a boat with Jesus. He was sleeping. Didn't bother him. The storm come up and they were just, they knew they were going to perish. They were really upset. They were struggling. And Jesus woke up and said, what's the problem? Why are you upset? They said, what has happened? Everything, the storm has come up. And He said, there, you need more faith. And He calmed the waters. Why would He do that? What good would come out of the fear that the disciples that were there were experiencing? The good that came out of it was that they realized that Christ is over everything. Not only just spiritual things, but everything, the wind and the waves, everything will stop at the command of Christ. Interesting, another interesting passage we encounter in the Bible is James 1. He says, count it all joy by the trying of your faith, when your faith is tried. That's another scripture that talks about these construction things, these times when God will come into our life and make corrections, maybe that we don't like, maybe that we're tired of waiting on Him to correct, but being able to see the positive in all of them, being able to see that God is working and there is something good that's going to come out of it. Romans 5:3-5, it talks about tribulation, and that's the one I mentioned earlier. But the ESV talks about sufferings. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. We learn a lot simply by trusting. We can learn a lot by surrendering to Jesus everything that's in our life. God needs to fine-tune us because we are humans. We make mistakes. We have sins that we have come out of the world and we accept Him, but we have things that need to be corrected. And He can make those corrections in our life. We can safely maneuver through life and through the trials and find purpose while we are there. The other thing that I find was interesting was that Paul found peace. He found peace where he was, and I didn't quite understand that. For a lot of years, as I read that passage of Scripture, I couldn't understand how could he find peace. And as like I mentioned, he found peace because he knows something good is going to happen. God is going to bring something good to the end. A lot of times people will think that, well, God has rejected me. God won't give me the things that I pray for. We don't really understand, and as I look at Paul, I think of if he would not have had this thorn in his side, he probably would have had pride. And you know what? That pride would have been a wedge that would have been went down between him and God. He will remove anything that might become a wedge. As Paul has stated here, that we will draw closer to Christ through the infirmities, through the things, our problems. I've prayed for a lot of things that I didn't get, but you know, as I allow the Lord to take over in my life, I realized they weren't quite that as important as I thought they were in the beginning. When we focus on Jesus, we're able to relax knowing He's in control. That would be the ultimate goal for me. And I work with that, and I try to make sure I do that in any situation, as He's been teaching me through the years, to just be able to relax and know that Jesus is in control. When anxiety kicks in, that's kind of hard. When all we can see is the trouble and the problem, that's hard to do. But when we can back off and say, Lord, what are we going to do here? We were young Christians back in, I guess we started, I was saved in 1988. I'm not going to tell you how old I am. You figure it out. 1988, but we had two kids. I had heard someone speaking from down south. There was a lady that was a lady speaker. I heard her speaking. She said they call him a piece of a car. Well, we had a real piece of a car. We were lucky it started and moved down the road. So that was a real piece of a car. Pulled into church one morning. Got out of the car, got the kids out of the car, come around, and there's no joke, there was water squirting out of the radiator, out over the front bumper, squirting it onto the road. Ellen said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to go to church. I just left it. When the service was over, I didn't worry about it while I was in the church. I said, Lord, this is yours. You know, you ever try to get two kids, two young children, you know what it's like. You get them together and you get them rounded up and you get them into church and you sit down and say, why did I do this? But we did it because it honors Jesus. It honors the Lord. That's why we put the effort out. That's why we did it. Come out of the church service, the car that had cooled down. I asked the pastor if he had a bucket somewhere. I'd get some water. I went over and opened the hood, filled the radiator with water, and it's no joke. It never leaked. All the way home, it stayed full of water. I don't know how. The Lord had to do it because, I mean, it was a bad leak. We didn't have the money for a radiator. So we got a phone call the next day. A friend of ours owned a radiator shop. They said, somebody said you need a radiator. I said, yeah. She said, come up and get one. Pay us when you can. I mean, it just a chain of events fell in place. And I think sometimes we need to relax in Jesus. Whenever we do that, I think He's able to work better. At least it's the way it works in my life. He's able to work better because I'm not in the way. I've accepted the fact that I am weak, just as Paul says. You know, I can't do it all. I'm not a person that can take care of everything. He said he accepted the fact that when he was weak, he was strong. And when we allow Jesus into every area and allow Him to make the corrections, we're telling Him, I'm weak. I can't do this. I can't make these corrections on my own. But Lord, I'm letting You have free reign to take over and to make these changes. I'm letting You have the end result so that I don't have to get in Your way and try to figure this thing out on my own. I know you already have it. We need to keep ourselves reminded that all things are possible through Jesus. We need to keep our focus right on Jesus, because He is the answer. I go back to, if you look at history, you can see the Garden of Eden. That's what Jesus meant for His people. That beautiful place was in the Garden of Eden. And we know because of sin, we had been expelled from the Garden of Eden. And if we look down the road, we see heaven. Even better than the Garden of Eden. We see these two things. And if we can realize and remember that Jesus has control of everything in between. No matter how bad it is, we have to live through this life that we have been given. It's never going to be easy and never going to be perfect. There's always going to be problems. But if we can rely on Him, He said He will be with us all the way through. Every step. He is the answer to the difficult times. We don't know what we're going to have to do. We don't know what we're going to have to experience. We don't have the answers, but we rely on the One that does. We can focus on Him. There's three things here that I have written down. The only thing that we take into eternity is our relationship with Jesus. I heard one time that there was someone that was buried in their Corvette. I heard that a long time ago. And I was talking to somebody a couple months ago. The conversation came up. And they said, yeah, I can show you right where that's at. Right up there above Irwin, up in there. That's where that took place. It doesn't matter what we were buried with. It doesn't matter. The only thing we take with us is our relationship with Jesus. That's why it's so important. That's why it's so important to follow Him. That's why it's so important to rely on Him. Because He's the one that's going to take us through this life into the next. He's the one that's going to be with us in eternity, and we'll be celebrating with Him. He helps us. The other number two is He helps us be content with where we are and what we have. That's a big one. Because Satan will come in and tell us, you need more. You need this over here. Well, look, this person has this big boat. You need a bigger boat. This person has an expensive car. You need a more expensive car. You know, keeping up with the Joneses type thing in there. There are all kind of things in there that Satan will try to put into our mind. But the thing about Jesus is He will help us be content with where we are and what we have. That's what Paul is saying. He said, I pray three times that the Lord will remove this thorn. And then he said, God said, my grace is sufficient. Well, he said, that's great. Okay, I'm going to glory in these afflictions, calamities and persecutions that I receive. So he can understand, and we can understand, that all of the things that we deal with are there. We can't change them. Sometimes we can change maybe one or two. But especially with health issues, we can't really change them. But we can help allow Jesus to help us to be content where we are and be content with what we have. The third thing I have here, we need to be exactly where Jesus wants us to be, and we need to be who He wants us to be. And if we do that, we can be happy. Happiness, everybody's striving for happy. They're thinking, okay, well, if I am able to go on this cruise, or if I'm able to go on this trip of a lifetime, I'll be happy. Some young people think, well, okay, I get married, I'll be happy. I was listening to an interesting individual on marriage counseling. He said, if you take an unhappy single person, two unhappy single person, and they get married, now you have an unhappy married couple, because We need to be happy with where we are and who we are before we move forward into anything, whether it's a marriage or whether it's a job. So many people think, I'm tired of this job and I want another one. So we go to that job and say, boy, that's a worse job than that one was. So we try to move over to another job. We try to find happiness in this change and in jumping around in different places, but that's not where it's found. We can be content. We can be happy where we are. And we need to pray for the changes. Lord, is this a change you want me to make in this job? Or do you want to change me to make me be content with what I have? He knows what the end result. He knows what we need. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And we need to rely on Him even more. I wrote this down. I don't know where it came from. And I don't even think it fits in the message right here, but you can put it in wherever it fits. But it says, don't run after bigger and better things. Let Jesus make us bigger and better first. How about if we let Jesus make us better before we go running after the bigger and better things? Because we don't know if we're running in the right direction when we do it on our own. We need to run after the bigger, let Him make us better. Let Him make us the individual that He wants us to be. Then we can pursue the other things because we're trusting Him. And He's the one who's guiding us and helping us. Under construction means something better is down the road. That bridge that I was telling you about, everybody's complaining about. Well, in about a year, that bridge is going to be so smooth and they're going to be able to sail across there. And I'll bet you I don't hear one word of people saying, boy, that was a good job they did there. No, they're going to say, about time to get done with the construction. That construction zone is there to make it better. But yet, we don't see all the things that go into it. We don't see all the reasons why we have to endure that. We need to keep ourselves reminded that with God all things are possible and that through our trials and testings we are not alone. We're not alone by our own selves. We are with Jesus when we trust in Him. Isaiah 40:31 says, wait on the Lord and we will renew our strength. We will mount up with wings as eagles and run and not be weary and walk and not be faint. We can understand a little bit better about what Jesus is up to in our life. We can understand a little bit better when we see these things that God is working on in our life. The thorn in Paul's side helped him focus on Jesus and be humble. If somebody comes up to you and says, I'm humble, you better watch out for them. Because I don't know if they know exactly what that means, but they may not be as humble as they may let on. Under construction means we're closer to our Lord and that He can use us to help others in different ways. You know, when we're under construction, it helps us, it allows us to use our Christian qualities. Somebody sees, you know, that you're still happy, that we're patient, that we're able to endure different things. If we think about it, you know, summertime gives us opportunity to wear summer clothes. We just cleaned out our closets from all the winter stuff. I found out that, you know, a lot of stuff don't fit that I had maybe 2 years ago. No, it's more like I had to buy a whole new wardrobe. Ellen's doing a little bit better. She's a lot more. She's just changing styles. That's all she's doing. Boy, I'm having a lot of trouble. We are like that. We need to allow God. We allow Him to use us to show others the way that they need to react to these things. Our reaction means a lot. The things that we focus on mean a lot. I don't know if you've ever been in an amusement park and they had a paratrooper. I don't know if everybody's ever been on one. All it is a cage, I call it, hanging from
little arm that comes out, and you close the gate. It spins around, and it stands up, and it spins around. We used to go on it all the time, Ellen and I, whenever we were dating. One day I'm staring up, I'm focused on it. She said, "What are you looking at?" I said, "You realize there's only one bolt holding us here." She never went on it again. That was the end of the fire trooper. One bolt holding it, ever spinning around and throwing you around. One bolt. Bolts break. In my occupation, I see that. Bolts break. What we focus on, how we react to things, they have a lot to do with other people. Other people see that, and other people get on board, or they don't get on board, but it does affect them in a lot of different ways. We need to be sure that what we're doing and what we're experiencing and where we're going and the things that matter in our life are really what's important. Let Jesus in. We need to open our heart's door. We need to let Jesus in. And we need to make sure that the direction that we go is the direction that He wants us to go. When we have God renewing our mind and spirit, we're able to learn new things and get rid of the old things that really shouldn't be there. Where we are is where Jesus needs us to be, needs to be where Jesus wants us to be. Where we are is where Jesus wants us to be, is the ultimate goal in our life. We need to remember that Jesus is there for us no matter what, and that whatever we experience can be used by Him to help others, and to help us be more at peace with Him as we trust and we guide, and He guides us for everything. Amen. You want to look for the closing hymn?